So first I'm going to read the text by itself, and then we'll do the word by word synonym. Hare tushyetatastata tavan matrena purushaha daivopasaditam yavat vikshyeshvara gatim buddha. So the translation, actually we'll do the word by word. Hare tushyet. One should be satisfied. Tataha. Therefore. Tata. My dear boy. Tavat. Up to such. Matrena. Quality. Purushaha. A person. Daiva. Destiny. Upasaditam, offered by, yavat, as, viksha, seen, ishvaragatim, the process of the supreme, buddha, one who is intelligent. So translation, the process of the supreme personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will. So purport by his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The great sage Narada instructed Dhruva Maharaj that one should be satisfied in all circumstances. Everyone who is intelligent should know that because of our concept of bodily existence, we are subjected to suffering and enjoyment. One who is in the transcendental position, beyond the concept of bodily life, is considered to be intelligent. One who is a devotee especially accepts all reverses as gifts of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is put in distress, he accepts this as God's mercy and offers him repeated obeisances with his body, mind, and intellect. An intelligent person, therefore, should be always satisfied depending on the mercy of the Lord. So then there's the verse we read today. I guess we'll do the word by word synonyms of that. Ata, therefore, matra, by your mother, upadishtena, being instructed, yogena, by mystic meditation. Avarurutsasi, want to elevate yourself. Yat prasadam, whose mercy. Saha, that. Vai, certainly. Pumsam, of the living entities. Duraradya, very difficult to perform. Mataha, opinion. Mama, my. So the translation of this verse is as follows. Now you've decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instruction of your mother just to achieve the mercy of the Lord. But in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for any ordinary man. It is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that the process of bhakti yoga is simultaneously very difficult and very easy to perform. Sri Narada Muni, the Supreme Spiritual Master, is testing Dhruva Maharaj to see how determined he is to prosecute devotional service. This is the process of accepting a disciple. The great sage Narada has come to Dhruva under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to initiate him. Yet he is testing Dhruva's determination to execute the process. It is a fact, however, that for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy. But for one who is not determined and sincere, this process is very difficult. So, Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, the first instruction Narada Muni gives here is just to Dhruva Maharaj is to just basically tolerate the insults he's gotten from his father. And of course, this is a lesson that we learn from the Bhagavad Gita. Tamsa tiksha shabhar ta matra sparshus da konte asitos na shuka duka da. Gama payana nitash tamsa tiksha shabhar ta. One should learn to tolerate happiness, distress, heat and cold, and all those other dualities of this world. And the material world is so arranged by Krishna to give us misery. It's a perfect arrangement for misery. And we know the threefold miseries, adhyatmik, adhibodhik, and adhidaivik, miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from the material energy in general. So Krishna has arranged these things, and we see in the lives of great devotees that they basically tolerate, as we mentioned, and Prabhupada makes reference to the verse here in the Bhagavatam, that they go on tatenu kampam sushumikshmana bunjanavatmakritam vipakam ridvag bapur virdin vidadab namaste jiveta yo muktis pare siddhaya bhak. They go on offering their service to Krishna enthusiastically and with devotion in spite of whatever happens, and then they become the fifth recipients of pure devotional service. That's actually the test that all of us are going to have to take. That there are going to be difficulties from other living entities, all these other types of difficulties, and if we give up Krishna consciousness because of that, then we fail the test. And of course, we understand if you fail the test, you get another opportunity to take it in the future. Just like if you go to school and you fail the test and you get left back a grade, they do that here. And if you fail a grade, then you get to repeat. So you'll get to repeat again and again and again. Do you want that? I don't think that's so nice. I mean, usually in school, if someone repeated the grades, the other kids would make fun of them. You know, they'd be 20 years old in second grade. Not so nice, is it? So we can keep repeating the same test, or we can pass it now. It's up to us. And things will happen. Like, for example, people will insult us, and not only do we have to keep serving Krishna, we have to remain merciful towards them. That's actually a very big test. Perhaps that's the biggest test, because the harsh words of another person, especially those who are close to you, like family members, husband, wife, are more painful than someone sticking a knife into your heart. Can you imagine someone sticking a knife and just like, that's painful. But if someone says something nasty to you and you actually love them, then that's more painful. And so, of course, you know, I've experienced that many, many times by the mercy of my disciples. Because I don't have any, as a sannyasi, I don't have any family members. Or when a disciple does some rascaldom, like I just got informed yesterday that two disciples became members of a different religion, and now they love murgis. You know, murgis? So it's painful. So normally, you would think if you're controlled by the mode of passion or ignorance, to get angry with them. I curse them to go wherever, to hell, right? Like you see, sometimes the sages, like Durvasa Muni, he was very expert in cursing. What happened that one time he came to Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj was executing this fast, Ekadasi fast, and he was getting ready to break it. Actually, it was a many-day fast, 40-something day fast. And he was getting ready to break the fast by taking the little grains or whatever. And then it was the Purana, exact time when he was supposed to break the fast. And then Durvasa Muni arrives. And Durvasa Muni goes to take his bath. And then Maharaj Ambarish is thinking, how am I going to break the fast but not offend this guest? Because you're not supposed to take prasadam before the guest takes. Of course, in the modern world, they do that. I've seen in some ISKCON temples even, that when it's time for the Sunday feast, the devotees will go first in line. Does that ever happen here? Suvit happens. I don't know about Lotoka. In Suvit, the devotees are pushing their way, you know, get out of my way, you stupid guest, you know. I want to make sure there's some paneer left for me. You seen that happen? And so in Suva, generally at Sunday feast, I take up the service, and I'm watching, you've seen that, you do that. I'm watching the devotees, they're scared to eat first. When I'm there. But when I'm not there, where the cat's away, the mice will play. So, that's actually quite offensive, to eat first before a guest comes. The guest should be treated like Narayan, Atithi Narayan. The guest should be, there's a punishment for those who look at the guests with staring eyes, thinking, oh, this guest is going to eat so much food there won't be anything left over for me. Then the punishment is the vultures of hell get to pluck your eyeballs out. Pretty nice, isn't it? It's not nice to be attacked by birds that are plucking your eyes. I was in Sydney and the birds were attacking me, and it wasn't so nice. They had the time when the birds are in the mating season, and if you go by them, they attack you, they try to get to your eyes. Fortunately, I was wearing sunglasses, so they couldn't do that. But they would dive bombing on me. So that's what happens if you don't treat guests properly. So Ambarish was understanding this etiquette, so he thought how to break the fast, but not break the fast simultaneously, not offend the guests. So what he did was that he took a little water, and that was considered breaking the fast. But Durvasa Muni, not being able to control his temper, got so angry, he felt offended. And he pulled out one of the hairs from his head, and he created this demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish. Fortunately, Maharaj Ambarish is a great pure devotee of the Lord. And Maharaj Ambarish was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Maharaj Ambarish did not get angry. This is the point about being a devotee. He didn't get angry. You know, if someone attacks me, I'd probably get angry with them, right? Even if someone challenges, you know, I don't like you, and I'd say, I don't like you either. You know, isn't it? We respond all the time like that. It's just crazy. So anyway, so Maharaj Ambarish was just sitting there, and Durvasa Muni was being chased by the Sudarshana Chakra disc. And he was being chased all over the material and even to the spiritual world. And finally, he approached Lord Narayan and he asked Lord Narayan, save me. And Lord Narayan said, I can't, because you've offended my devotee. The only method of rectification is if you go to my devotee and beg for forgiveness. In the meantime, Maharaj Ambarish was performing austerities because he felt so bad that he had created a distressful condition for Durvasa Muni. Can you imagine that? How a devotee tolerates like that? I mean, would you feel bad if someone had offended you or tried to kill you and Krishna was trying to kill them? And would you perform austerities for their benefit? No. You would say, Krishna, go kill him. There's like, sometimes they have this, in certain countries they have capital punishment. You have that here in Fiji, capital punishment? No. No, in India they do. And recently some people have been condemned to die, capital punishment. They did terrible things. And people are just standing there like cheering when they're killed. It's like that, I've seen it. When someone in the prison house is going to be killed, in America they use lethal injection. They inject someone with some sort of poison. In India they hang people. Right? And certain countries they actually cut their heads off. In Europe, during what's called the French Revolution, they were cutting off the heads of all the rich people. Did you ever have a coup like that in Fiji? Where they cut off people's heads? Never. Okay. That's good. So, and then people were standing around, even like old ladies, they were all standing around just like chanting, you know, Haribo, you know, his head was cut off with great joy. You know, that's vengeance. That's actually getting even with someone. Vengeance is in the mode of ignorance, isn't it? So Maharaj Ambarish wasn't thinking to get even with Durvasa Muni. He was simply thinking of Durvasa Muni's welfare. So it wasn't that he just continued serving Krishna. He was also manifesting the saintly qualities of Ajatashatrava, not having someone as an enemy. Surda Sarva Dehinam, or Bhutanam, considering all living entities, being the well-wisher of all living entities. This is Vaishnava qualities. That's what it means to be a devotee. According to Lord Kapiladeva, Tatikshava is the first quality Lord Kapiladeva lists, right? Tolerant. Karunika, because without being tolerant, you can't be merciful. Then you'll just be merciful to someone who pleases you. Right? Someone pleases you and says nice things about you. Oh, Gurudev, you're so wonderful. Your lotus feet are so sweet. They can't be beat. Oh, your dear lotus feet. You know, someone who says that, then you just think, oh, Ashivad. But if someone criticizes you, then you take your water out of your water pot. They, you see these Hindi films, you know, that's how they curse. They have a water pot, and they pour some water in there, and they throw it at the person. Like in the Bhagavatam, there was someone who offended his spiritual master, and he got cursed to be a Rakshasa, King Kalma Sapata. Remember that story? Because he fed his spiritual master meat. Anyway, that's a different story. So, Tatikshava Karunika, without being tolerant, you can't be merciful. And then Suda Sarvadeinam. That means merciful to all living entities. From the insignificant ant all the way up to whatever other creatures there in this world. And then Ajata Shatrava, which means the person doesn't have any enemies. In other words, your enemy has never been born. Actually, that was the name of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Ajata Shatru, which means he whose enemy was never born. So Yudhisthira had no enemies. And that's why it was hard for him to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, because he didn't hate anybody. Bhimsen was a little different. Bhimsen never had the name Ajatashatru. He was Jatashatru. In fact, after the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, he had taken all these vows that he wouldn't go to heaven or wouldn't accrue pious activities until he got a chance to drink blood from Dushyanta's chest. Can you imagine that? Ooh, he took that vow. And even Draupadi, she said she wouldn't tie her hair until she put the blood from Dushyanta on her hair. These are Kshatriyas. That's passion. Can you imagine that? The lady putting blood on her hair, jai. I feel so good about it. Or Bhimsen. And also breaking the thighs of Duryodhana, because Duryodhana wanted Draupadi to sit on his thigh. Yeah, that was an insult. He wanted someone else's wife to sit on his thigh. And so Bhimsen had this idea, just like getting even. It's like a trampled serpent. You know what a serpent is? You don't have snakes here, but in India there's snakes. And if you step on them, you're finished. Many times I've been walking, I didn't step on a snake, but I stopped just in time so I didn't step on a cobra. And there's stories in India, this is Prabhupada's story, that once upon a time, in Mayapur Dham, they found a cobra in Prabhupada's bathroom. It had come out of the toilet. Can you imagine that? Looking down at the toilet and there's this cobra looking at you. You would definitely go somewhere else. So, anyway, the devotees killed the cobra. And Prabhupada said, now you have to look for his wife. Because the cobras, they go around in pairs. And if you kill a male cobra, the wife somehow or other finds out. The male takes a picture with his digital camera or something. This is Prabhupada's story. And the female will follow you to kill you. There's even one story of one person who killed a cobra, a male cobra, and then he went back to his country, a different country other than India, and the female cobra snuck into his bags. So when he opened his bags at customs, the cobra just jumped out and killed him. Pretty heavy. So that's like a trampled snake. You know, very angry. So Bhimsen was like that. So he wasn't a Jatashatru. Whereas Yudhisthira Maharaj was. So we should follow in the footsteps of Yudhisthira Maharaj. So the Ambarish Maharaj is a perfect example. He was interested only in the welfare of the person who attacked him. Another example, of course, is the famous story of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was whipped. There was a story that because Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, the Muslims were very angry that he is chanting Hare Krishna. And as a result, he was called before the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the person in charge there. And he was accused of chanting Hare Krishna. He said, yes, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And they said, you were born in a high-class Muslim family. Why have you taken up this low-class activity of chanting Hare Krishna and given up your religion? As we know, in many countries, if someone gives up their Muslim religion and converts, what happens? They get killed. I have one disciple in a Muslim country, and he has to be very secretive about his chanting japa. He chants japa on the Muslim prayer beads. And he knows that if he reveals that he's Hare Krishna, and he's initiated devotee too. Pretty interesting. I can't mention what country because it would get him in trouble. But if he reveals that he's a devotee, then he has a very high position, extremely high position in the country. He's not the PM, don't worry. That would be too high. But a very high position. And if he reveals he's a devotee, then he gets killed, his wife and his children are taken away from him, everything. If he reveals it. That's what happens. And even in Canada, there's many stories of Muslim girls marrying Hindu or Christian boys, and the father has the son, the father of the girl has the son come and kill his sister. Very common. No one's heard of that before? Happens. Quite common. So anyway, Haridas, I'm trying to give the scenario or the understanding of what was happening to Haridas. So Haridas was called in front of the Nawab, and the Nawab said, are you going to give up chanting Hare Krishna? And Haridas said, no. Hare Krishna. Anyways, and so they said, well, we're going to whip you. So he said some people to whip Haridas Thakur. In 22 marketplaces, Haridas Thakur was being whipped by these personalities. And of course, it's described later in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was protecting Haridas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the whips on his own back. Because Lord Chaitanya showed later on, he opened his shirt and he showed Haridas Thakur, actually I'd accepted that, the whip, so you didn't really feel any pain. So Haridas Thakur was being whipped. And as he was being whipped, the whippers were feeling great anxiety because they had been instructed to whip Haridas Thakur to death. And so Haridas Thakur wasn't dying. And so Haridas Thakur looked at them with compassion and said, what's the problem, boys? Can you imagine that? You know, someone whipping you. What's your problem? Why are you in anxiety? I mean, that takes a lot of compassion. I, you know, if it was me, I'd be saying, Krishna's going to kill you for this. And I'd be praying, Krishna, kill them. They should be whipped in hell. Isn't it? I mean, most of us would be thinking like that. But Haridas Thakur asked them that question, and then they responded. We're in anxiety because you're not dying. He said, and Haridas Thakur said, oh, is that it? Okay, no problem. So he put himself into a trance, in such a trance that they could not detect any breathing. Just to help those Muslims who were whipping him. And so then they took Haridas Thakur's body, which they thought was dead before the Nawab, and they said, what should we do? And the Nawab said, don't bury him and don't cremate him. Because if you cremate him, then that's the Hindu thing. Then he'll go back to Godhead or whatever. And if you bury him, that's the Muslim thing. So then he'll go to the celestial heaven, wherever, where so many virgins will greet him and say, Hare Krishna. So he said, no. You should throw him in the river. Because that's considered the worst possible thing. Just throw the body away. And they threw him in the river. The Haridas Thakur floated down the river. And then, after he floated out a few kilometers, then he came back to consciousness and started chanting Hare Krishna again. And when they saw him again, then the Nawab said, I'm not going to bother this guy again. He's a real saint. And they actually apologized to him, which is interesting. So that's the story illustrating compassion. How a devotee tolerates it. Another story, there's so many stories in our Vaishnava heritage about devotees being compassionate to the people who attack them. Of course, the other story is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was subjected to the tortures of his father in many cases. I mean, you know the stories because it's a famous story. Thrown off cliffs, poisoned by his mother, put in a pit of vipers or snakes, trampled under an elephant. So many things. Put in a pot of oil with demons surrounding him and a pot of boiling oil. So many things happened. Yet, after Lord Nrsimhadev appeared and killed his father, Prahlad Maharaj, practically speaking, the only thing he asked for was for his father's liberation. Pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, most of us would be very happy to see someone like that in hell. But he said, first of all, when Lord Nrsimhadev asked him, do you want anything? He said, no, I'm not a merchant. I'm not Baniya. I'm not a merchant. But if you want to do anything for me, he said, I'm full of compassion for the fallen souls. And he was only like 5 years old, 5, 6 years, 7 years, max. And so I'm full of compassion for fallen conditioned souls, so please save my father. So Nrsimha Bhagawan, he said, yes, he's saved. But not only that, all the generations of your family, past and present, they'll be saved. And I promise you, from this day forward, I'm not going to kill any of your family members. That was pretty good. So therefore, we find that later on, when the Supreme Personality of God, who was dealing with Vamana, with Bali Maharaj as Lord Vamana, he didn't kill him. And when he was dealing with Banasura, who was also great-great-grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't kill him either. So this is all due to the compassion of the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just one or two more stories about devotee's compassion. Another time, Chaitanya Leela, Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, and then there was this devotee who had leprosy. His name was Vasudev. This devotee, having leprosy, had worms crawling in the sores. You understand? You know, there used to be a leper colony here in Fiji. And so, then when the worms fell out of the sores, he put them back in. Can you imagine such compassion? That's why we say that Vanjakalpa Thuruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. A Vaishnava is Kripa Sindhu. Kripa Sindhu means like ocean. An ocean has no limits to it. So Kripa, and Prabhupada was obviously like that. So anyway, so he kept putting the worms back in, and eventually, of course, Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and the leprosy went away. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Vasudev Dutt, who was willing to go to hell for an unlimited amount of time just to save all the conditioned souls in this world. Amazing, isn't it? He was willing to take everyone's karma. And that's pretty amazing. I know when I give initiation, I'm thinking, oh my God, I gotta take someone's karma. I said, can't we give the... Whoops, careful. I said, can't we give the karma to the temple president instead? Let's make a deal, you know. Or when someone touches my feet, I follow what Prabhupada said, you touch their heads, give them back their karma. Did you ever wonder why a sadhu touches your head after he touches his feet? Because then you get back your karma. Prabhupada said that. Otherwise you get sick. But Vasudev Dutt, he was willing to take everyone's karma. So, the question arises, after telling all these stories, how do we get this same sort of tolerance and ultimately compassion for all living entities? What is the methodology for doing that? Because it's very hard. Well, the methodology that I've experienced for doing that is, of course, chanting Hare Krishna, that's obvious. But also praying for compassion. And also associating with those devotees who are compassionate. Because by associating with Prabhupada and serving them, it's like if you serve Prabhupada and you distribute this Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate compassionate activity, because it's not material compassion, is like blowing on a boil. It doesn't do any good. You know, if you try to help someone materially, they still have their karma and they're still going to have to suffer. But if you help people by giving them Krishna consciousness, then even if you're not feeling the compassion at that particular moment, you will actually gain that compassion. If you serve someone who is compassionate, and if you serve the devotees, I mean, it's very interesting that I've experienced a lot of realization about compassion by serving the Vaishnavas. Recently, I've actually had the experience of being able to serve people as they were leaving their bodies. And it's a very wonderful experience, not that they're leaving their bodies, but the experience of serving Vaishnavas as they're leaving this world. Many times, being inclined to be third-class devotees, we just serve the Lord and the deities and everything like that. And with the Vaishnavas or with guests, we neglect that. But actually, Krishna is more pleased by serving his devotees than by serving the deities and serving his living entities. So we should keep that consciousness in our mind. And by serving, even though it may be difficult at first, like in the Bhagavad Gita, it describes that happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning, and then it becomes like nectar. So you force yourself to do something that maybe you don't want to do, but you know is good for you. It's like taking medicine. Not that every medicine is tasty. Some medicines are very bitter. So, Krishna conscious activities, sometimes it's very difficult, but you force it. I remember, I'll give you a practical example of my own life. When I was first a devotee, we were going on Sankirtan book distribution every day. And getting out sometimes is the hardest part of book distribution. Has anyone ever experienced that? Yeah, you're out there and you're thinking, why am I doing this? You know, just like, I'm tired. I want to eat. I want to stay back at the temple and take prasadam. Instead, you know, there's someone drops me off, wants to drop me off in some mall, shopping mall somewhere. You know, because that we would take devotees out on the week, on Saturday, everybody would go out. We'd close the temple except for the pujari. And everyone would go out to read books, so that we'd be dropped off somewhere. And I was thinking, well, maybe I could just drive the Sankirtan van instead of going out. And so, but then once you force yourself, you go on the street instead of taking a nap in the bushes, you force yourself, then it becomes nectarian. Has anyone ever experienced that? When you actually force yourself in the beginning, because in the beginning, we're conditioned souls, you know, but then when you do that, then you experience happiness. So that means functioning on the intelligence platform with compassion. I forgot to touch his head. He didn't stay around long enough to do that. Got to remind me next time, you know. I said compassion. He said, Maharaj, you didn't do it. Okay. And then I run up to the person. Yeah. So, anyway, so we force ourselves to do something that's good for us and good for others. And then you develop compassion by distributing these books, by preaching. And as Prabhupada mentions here, that it's very, elsewhere actually he mentions, that is the duty, as I mentioned yesterday, duty of everyone of Indian extraction to preach Krishna consciousness. So it's your duty. Just like it's your duty to your parents, it's your duty to preach, to help others come to Krishna. And if you do that, then you get special mercy. Then you become compassionate gradually, and then you're willing to tolerate anything, and you still feel love for the person, for everyone. That's the point. If you hate anyone, that's not good consciousness. If you feel any animosity, hate towards anyone, you've got a problem. And you have to, you're the one who has to rectify it. Krishna's not going to rectify it unless you do make the first step. Okay, so on that happy note, any questions or comments about any of these points I made in class? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, disturbances, enemies? Think of your enemy. Think of the person you hate the most. That's an exercise for you. And go in front of the deities and pray for them. The person who causes you the most pain, the person who you hate the most, or you feel the most negative towards. Try that exercise. It's quite powerful. And while you're chanting japa, pray for them. The person who causes you the most pain, you pray for them. I mean, it's easy to pray for the person who serves you prasadam. Try it. It's an exercise. After class, you try doing that. And it's wonderful. You get a wonderful response from Krishna. So, any other? Rasa Vihari, you have a question?
Yes, you are stating about Vasudeva Datta. You know, you pray in Vakameya, Nishwarapparam, Astaridhi Vittara Punarbhavam.
Yeah.
Give me the suffering of the people. And I don't want liberation, I don't want the Asta Siddhi.
Yeah.
What kind of love he has developed. And he doesn't want that, but he has so much compassion. He must have attained something. That's why he has come to the stage where he doesn't have anything. But he's actually suffering with people.
Yeah.
And even the devotee is being Kripitshavakar.
Karunika. Yeah.
He's being defamed, he's been cheated, he's been killed, or he's been cursed, as has been done to Parikshit Maharaj, done to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah.
But they never counteracted. Nasya tat pratikruvanti.
Yeah.
They never counteracted.
Yes.
Even Jesus Christ was killed, hanged on top. But they must have attained something.
And what do they attain?
Well,
they have pure love for Krishna. If you have pure love for Krishna, then you're happy. And then Narayana Paraksarve Nakutaschina Vivyati Swagapavarga Narakeshu Apitulyarta Darshana. That if you have pure love for Krishna, you can go to heaven, you can go to hell, it's all the same to you. Because why? Because internally you're executing your lila with Krishna. That's the real point. That's how a pure devotee can actually be so detached, because inside, not in the body of course, but in his spiritual self, he's realized his spiritual form is called Siddhadeha, and he's dancing with Krishna or serving Krishna in some way in the spiritual world while you see him here. You're seeing a pure devotee here, and you're thinking he's here, but actually he's also there. That's how. Because then it really doesn't matter. You know, torture his body and he's with Krishna in the spiritual world. You know, he's a gopi, he's dancing with Krishna. If he's a coward boy, he's herding the cows with Krishna and playing ball with Krishna. And if he's in a parental relationship, he's taking care of Krishna. He's actually there. The pure devotee is in both places simultaneously. And there's stories that when pure devotees go into trance, like Srinivasacharya, he would go into trance and he would bring things back from the spiritual world. You know, he'd just be meditating on some pastime, entering into the pastime of Radha and Krishna, and he would actually bring like garlands back from the spiritual world. Pretty good, isn't it? Can you do that, Chandragopal? And there was a pastime when he was meditating on looking for Radharani's toe ring, and his disciple Ramchandra Kaviraj was worried about him because he was meditating for 3 days and wasn't eating. So his disciple sat down and entered into the same pastime. So guru and disciple were together in the spiritual world while their bodies were sitting there next to each other. And then they found the toe ring and they both came out together out of trance. So this is happening with pure devotees. And it's really, this is a more advanced stage, of course. I mean, there's different stages of devotional service. I mean, we're in the avaiti stage, rules and regulations. And after we get some spontaneity and become fixed, nishta, then we can be Raghunuga. And then after that, Bhava Bhakti, and after that, Prema Bhakti. And in that Prema Bhakti stage, which is the future for all of us, we can actually enter into those pastimes. That's actually for all of us to experience. If you don't commit offenses against devotees, you serve Prabhupada and his mission, you will come to that stage. We all come to that stage. And then we'll be perfectly compassionate no matter what someone does to us. That's the secret. Yeah, that's what Vatsadeva Dad had. I mean, the associates of Lord Chaitanya were all residents of Braj too, simultaneously. You know, they're Nitya devotees, Nitya Siddha devotees. And they were present also in Vrindavan. So, you cannot equate them with us. It's a complete, I'm not going to pray like Vasudev Dad. I'm not ready for it. I don't want it. I mean, it's important to be honest. Isn't it? I think we should be honest with ourselves. You know, if we're dishonest, it doesn't look good. We say, oh, Gurudev, I'm willing to do anything. I'm your eternal servant. And then you say, yeah, can you do this? Oh, no. And then you're dishonest. I mean, it's very important to be openly honest with yourself and with others, what you're ready to surrender to. Right? If you're not, then Krishna won't appreciate that. We think we're more surrendered than we actually are. That's the problem.
One more question. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Brikshana katiliya kuchina bodhiya, taridiya apana. When you cut the tree, it says, please come and take shelter of my shade.
Yeah.
Why you stay in the hot sun, and despite it gives the fruit.
Yeah.
But when we compare ourselves, we have active senses.
Yeah.
The tree doesn't have active senses. So they won't respond if I hit a... They won't respond back, but we have active senses.
Yeah, but the tree can experience. Actually, there's been scientific studies that they attach some electrodes to the plants, and when they cut the plant acts as a screen there. I mean, it's not as intense as our cells if you cut my arm off or something like that, but the plant does respond. There's consciousness there. There is consciousness in the tree. And it's much less than our consciousness, obviously, but scientists have analyzed it. And also, it's a fact that if you play nice Hare Krishna music in your garden, the plants will grow better than if you play Bollywood songs. They did a test. They played Bollywood songs, rock and roll songs, for the plants, and they remained stunted. You know what stunted means? Very small. And then they played Hare Krishna music, and the plants grew very tall. So the plants are influenced by the consciousness of people who take care of them and the consciousness of the sound vibration around. There is consciousness. I mean, it's much less, obviously. Like you see, certain people are very good at growing plants. They're called green thumbs. You've had that expression here? You say, here's a green thumb. And some other people, no matter what they do, the plant won't sprout. You know, and also people who cook well are called white thumb. You heard that expression? You said someone has a white thumb, they're a good cook. And other people, you send them to the kitchen, whatever they cook, it's horrible. It's true. Because the consciousness is there. Okay, I think we have to end because we have midday program and then prasadam and everything, breakfast prasadam and everything happening today. So thank you very much. All glorious to the divine glories. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Gaura.